B-Pod Studios.
They bring you insight like no one else can.
Used to have the trainer slap him before every game.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Slap me, come on. Slap me harder.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sad news.
My wife made me watch this movie.
What's the sad news?
Coal Miner's Daughter with a Sissy Spacek.
Tommy Lee Jones.
He was really good in that movie.
Loretta Lynn has died at the age of 90.
I would not have thought she was still alive.
Hold Dolly Parton. Dolly's pushing it now. She's getting up there. She's got to be like 70, 75. Loretta Lynn dead.
Yeah, she was 90.
Yeah, Dolly is 76 years old.
No offense to anyone who's 90 who's in the audience, but, you know, if you're 90, every day you get up, man, it's a blessing, right?
What age is it a blessing? Like, why do you just start, like,
I'd say, like 85.
You.
What do you think?
I think every day is a blessing.
I think 82.
Hashtag blessed.
Good for you, Tiba.
So she was married, as Zoe, you will remember, from watching that movie, to Doolittle Lynn. played by Tommy Lee Jones. It's a fantastic. Have you ever seen it, Beetle?
No.
It's a fantastic movie.
Sissy Spacek is really good in it.
Yes. And Beverly D'Angelo plays Patsy Cline. And she can sing. But I think Do may have passed away some years ago. Let me check in on Do.
Sissy Spacek was the... did she play Carrie when they dumped the blood on her?
Yeah.
She's good in those roles.
In which role?
She's I don't know. She really became the character. Like, I felt like, oh, wow, that's Loretta Lynn.
Ah, Lynn was married for almost 50 years until her husband died at age 69 in 1996. She recounted how her husband cheated on her regularly and once left her while she was giving birth.
What a guy.
Probably had somewhere to go.
She was very young when she married. You'll remember from the
deal.
I think she was
D-bag.
13, 14. Yeah.
Gross.
Well, this is a fun discussion. You were saying identity, so.
Yeah.
Do the Patriots have an identity? Have they established an identity?
Yeah, I think their team captain started to talk about it weeks ago, and we're like, fastball, running game, fastball. Their running game might be their fastball. Like, they might really believe that. It's kind of coming around, right? What's the strength of their team right now on offense? Running game. What's the strength of their team on defense? Probably their secondary, right? Like, they haven't given up the big 65-yard bomb, 40-yard, you know, throw down the middle and cover two. I watch this league. I see balls going left and right. Like, look at all these big plays everybody's making. They've been giving it up. Like, the only one close to giving it up was Dobbs in the back corner of the end zone. Didn't complete the catch. Like, that was a hell of a throw by Rodgers, though. Same thing with the Lazard throw for the 32-yarder down at right sideline. That's really the only two big plays they've given up in the game. They've sort of kept Tyreek Hill in check. He got a 16 and 17 and this and that, but... You know, you didn't give up like the 65-yarder where Mahomes would run around and just throw it up. I don't know if that's because you haven't played great quarterbacks. So think about it. It's Tua week one, Trubisky week two. Pittsburgh had great receivers. I don't know why they didn't take any shots downfield. Lamar only throws it to the tight end. You got beat because you got run on in that second half against the Ravens. And then Andrews climbed McCourty's back and made a hell of a catch. So you're like right there with these teams. I don't know how far off you are. You're sitting there at 1-3, but you get back to the identity talk. I'd keep pounding the run. Use these next 4 weeks to keep that thing going till your quarterback gets healthy and you get the passing game cranked up. Tight ends are non-existent right now, and that's...
Jonnu Smith, what's the update on him?
I think he's out. He'll be out this week. I don't know that. But he went right to the tent and then to the locker room. and he was ruled out immediately. So that tells me high ankle sprain. He was sort of lax in his blocking to that left side, and Damian Harris needs somewhere to run, ran him over, and gets rolled up from behind. That's high ankle.
Well, Mike Reese will be with us coming up in a little more than an hour. We'll ask Mike Reese what he's hearing about that. 617-779-0985. Dave's in Lynn. Dave.
Yeah, the problem is without an offensive line coach, basically you have like five independent fingers that can't protect. Remember, you're on your third quarterback in 4 weeks. It's not because you're sitting them down. It's because they're getting laid down. Without having like a choreographer to teach the nuances and help each individual line player develop, you're sending people out there. I was going to call in on Friday and give Hoyer 3 games max before he's out. No, I give any quarterback 2 games until they fix that problem with the coaching. It's not the talent. It's just you have to play together. If you don't know that position, it's not going to get done. It's like having a leaky toilet on the second floor. Every time you flush it, it comes and leaves a stain on the ceiling downstairs. Oh. Well, you can paint the downstairs and it'll look nice, but every time you go upstairs and flush it, you're going to get that stain. Yeah. So they need to fix the line.
Good grief.
Dave, what an analogy.
Think about all that nastiness in between the floorboards. Ooh. Just painted paint over it. Oh, the poo water leaking everywhere.
Ah!
Why is the ceiling brown? It's poo water.
Spaces.
The line play has gotten better since the preseason. They did not look good in preseason. They scrapped the zone blocking, made them more comfortable. They don't make a ton of calls. So I think that's why you may not like need Scar there every single play in between every series going, hey, we got to tag this or we need to fan this. It's been streamlined and simplified. It's sort of like block in front of you. But what they have gotten going is the pull. The pull game, the traps.
The what?
The pull. They're pulling. Pull your right guard. Pull your center. They pull on screens. They pull on traps. That looks good. That's old Patriots football. I think it's one position on the line right now. It's a problem. Solidify that tackle. I think Trent Brown has got it going. Trent's had a couple good games in a row now. Like, it's settled in. Your left side. Got to play. Got to play. Got to go. You want more money? Got to play.
Brad's in Northboro. Hi, Brad.
Hey, guys. First off, you guys were talking about Beverly D'Angelo. I know, Hardy, you and I are big fans of European Vacation. She did a nice little bit. For Clark.
Ta-da,
in that movie,
ta-da.
And then,
oh, yeah. Well, it was something she had done in college, and then she just reenacted it for Clark in the VHS camcorder. Yeah, I remember.
The thing that sits on the shoulder, yeah. She was an overnight sensation over in Europe, though.
Oh, yeah. The hot wife.
Yeah. anyway, so I called.
She could throw 97 on the black back then.
Oh my God! Paint the corners.
Oh yeah,
a lot of movement.
She had a crush on Wayne Newton, didn't she?
She sure did. She loved Wayne Newton.
Yeah.
Yep.
She did. Yeah. Oh yeah. She was in love with him. Two takes I have for you guys. Belichick's legacy with Zappi. It's like a clean slate because Hoyer's still part of the old regime. Mac Jones is kind of part of the old regime. I just think Belichick's going to ride this as long as he can. And also, it could lead to a QB controversy. And the way Tony Romo was talking on Sunday, he knows about QB controversies. Completely aside from the Patriots, I want your take on what's going to happen in Dallas once Dak Prescott's ready to go. As far as Cooper Rush and Dak, I mean, Cooper's looking good.
Dak. It's Dak.
It's Dak.
Dak's making $45 million. It's Dak.
A massive franchise quarterback.
They don't,
with a huge contract. They're not going to.
But I mean, listen, every time you see him, though, when you see Cooper, you look at him, and I don't know, you guys watch Red Zone or seeing any of the games, just watching it with Paul and with Mike Dussault there at Patriots.com. You see him, you're like,
I mean, is it off the chart great throws? Or, like, you go back and look at Dak's good games when he gets in throwing duels and it's off the back foot and it's 300, 400-yard games.
I will say.
Does he throw the ball the way Dak does there? The answer is no.
No, he doesn't.
His job is to keep it rolling.
Tom Brady didn't throw the ball the way Drew Bledsoe did either.
They didn't have that type of receivers or offense, though.
And it took an injury. Oh, wait, Dak had an injury. And then he never got his job back. I don't think Cooper Rush is good enough or has impressed enough. I mean, it's impressive what he's doing. That's a weird way to say it.
Yes.
Weird. It's sad I have to say, to term it this way. I don't think it's sexy enough for their brand.
Yeah, I
guess. Dak Prescott gets Cowboy fans going. I don't know if Cooper Rush does. They like winning, but I think, hey, okay, have this contest.
You know who we're going to go to the mall. About this?
Who?
We got to talk to Bird about this tomorrow.
Yeah. Oh, Bird, pull out the inside down.
He's tapped in with that crew.
This is what
down
Jerry wants.
Out.
Jerry wanted that. Yeah, I want me a quarterback controversy.
We'll talk to him about that coming up later in the week. We'll talk to Mike Reese next hour here on Zolak and Bertrand. More of your calls are coming up.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Zolak, Bertrand, and the guy who has to put up with both of them. Party.
Hey, nice shirt. Where'd you get that? At the crappy shirt store? Just kidding. How you doing?
Zolak and Bertrand.
Party. How you doing?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
I'm ready, honey. Wait a minute. Okay.
The minute you walked in the joint, I could see you were a man of distinction, a real big spender. Good looking, so refined. Wouldn't you like to know what's going on in my mind? So let me get right to the point. I don't pop my coat.
You happy now?
Yes.
I just watched in the back room of T-Bone, too. So. Well, that's great. It's a great song. 617-779-0985. Mike in Rhode Island, have at it, Mike.
Yeah, I was calling about the defensive play of the Patriots. It used to be the trademark of the Patriots that first half, the other team would score most of their points, and in the second half, they'd get shut down. And that went on for years and years. I'm not saying every game, but the vast majority of the games, that was the case. Now it seems like the other team, the offense, is making the adjustments to our defense and is scoring the points against us. It's like we're not making any adjustments to stop the other team. I mean, it's proven by the last two games. It's been going on anyway for a while.
Can I just say this, and Mike's not the first person to say that there were times, critical stops, not being able to get off the field the last 2 weeks. They couldn't get off the field against Aaron Rodgers, it seemed, in the second half. It was Aaron Rodgers.
Lamar Jackson.
Last week, it was Lamar Jackson. Hello? I get it, right? Defensively, they may not be the best defense in the league. Look at who they've played the last 2 weeks. I don't know that these last 2 weeks are the best weeks to judge them on.
I agree.
Because coming into the year, we did not look at this team and say defense will be their strength. Defense will be how they stop teams. They're going to be a contender. We never said that, period. But if you were thinking that because of their defense, no, please.
As bad as you might want to think their defense is,
come on.
The last 8 quarters during flow of game, I've not sit there and got on the defense saying, oh, they're getting smoked here. I haven't felt that. You had the ball twice in the fourth quarter down 5 in Ravens territory to take control of that game in the fourth quarter and win it. You didn't do that. You had the ball at the 50 after your defense got off the field on 3-and-out, first possession in overtime. I think you lost that game this week on offense. Even though Zappe stepped in and did well. Like
Patriots 23rd in the NFL in offensive scoring.
And I don't want to call the, what our caller was talking about, like revisionist history. But to say that the Patriots used to be the team that would make adjustments and shut another team down in the second half, that's not entirely accurate. There was one season, I don't know if it was 14 or 15, where they were getting outscored in the second half. But that was, I think, in large part because they would jump out to an early lead, and then they wouldn't necessarily have to go and score more points. They could play more conservatively offensively in the second half. But they were getting outscored in the second half for a good stretch of at least one, maybe even two seasons. And it and so haven't you always said, like, halftime adjustments, bit overrated in terms of what you can
pick,
do?
You pick one thing and you try to make one tweak. You get 12 minutes.
Right.
It takes you 3 minutes to get in, 3 minutes to get out and get loose. So you really got six. And if you got to take a leak, you're using that for 2 minutes, so you got 4 minutes. You have 4 minutes to sit there and talk about one adjustment.
And, oh, by the way,
like that, real quick, like that
Aaron Rodgers, like you said, Beano.
Like they're sitting there, like back to that Minnesota game back in 94. We don't know what to do. Put him in auto. Go to auto.
So if you're looking for a, like, predictor for things statistically when it comes to points, the Patriots are 23rd, as I just mentioned, 23rd in the league in offensive scoring. Pittsburgh is tied with the Patriots at 23rd. They each have 18.5 points per game. That's a game the Patriots won, the only game the Patriots have won against the team that's tied with them in points per game. Green Bay is ahead of them, just ahead of them. They're the next team on the list at 18.8. The Patriots took them to overtime, down to the wire, and lost to the Packers, who are, again, ahead of them in offensive points per game. The other losses this year, Baltimore, who ranks third in the NFL in scoring, and Miami, who ranks ninth in the NFL in scoring. So they lose to Baltimore and Miami in pretty convincing wins for each of those teams. They win against the team they're tied with offensively for points, and they duke it out with the team that's just in front of them and end up losing. Do you want to know where Detroit is ranked in the NFL? Points per game?
Points scored per game.
Yeah.
They have to be first or second.
Numero uno, my friends. Yeah. Number one in the league in scoring.
Toucher and Rich had this morning. Jared Goff has more completions, more yards, more touchdowns than
mind-blowing
than Patrick Mahomes, than Matthew Stafford, than Tom Brady. It's just they're throwing all over the place.
Oh, they're going to light you up.
Ton of yards, ton of completions. A lot of touchdown passes. You want to know why you shouldn't worry?
Why?
It's the Lions.
They're going to go get him.
And by the way, they're 1-3. I mean, so what? They allow a ton of points. Can you? I think they're going to score points, but you can score on that team. Who's going to get? You may not have any decision to make. You know, who's the guy going to be quarterback in your team? Yeah, there's one guy. There's one guy who can throw it.
We taking the over this week?
I don't know what the number
What's
is.
What's the over and under?
70?
Like, hold on. I can look it up.
I bet it's
70
48.
And a half?
I bet it's 48.
There's no way it's 48.
47.
No, 50 no something. It's got to be 50. It's got to be 51.
Vegas is 51 stupid. And a half. They're not stupid.
Okay.
What's Pete 11?
No, I'm just... You're Vegas. They're not stupid.
They're going to take a look at, okay, why are they scoring these points? Take a look at some of these teams are playing. Well, how good are those defenses they're putting points up against?
It's lower than you would expect.
46 and a half?
Depending on where you're seeing it right now, 46 and a half pretty much across the board.
Pound the over.
They go under.
Who goes under?
I take the under. I take the Patriots and the under.
So you're expecting a turnaround defensively this week?
I just expect the defense to do the same. That's what the same call stuff. Was about. Like, you're not facing Aaron Rodgers and Lamar Jackson here.
Yeah. No, you're facing an offense that scored more than those teams. Mm-hmm. Wow, taking the under. John's in Maine. Hey, John.
Hey, John.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Hey.
How y'all? I was wondering. Is Belichick putting too much faith in his defense to make his offense work?
Rabbit.
He's trying to listen to the show as he speaks, which is never a winning combination. Answer, you're going to answer that or no?
Yeah. No. Well, he's putting too much faith in it. I think he trusts the two guys running it, and his son and Gerard Mayo. And I think Bill knows through four games that, okay, we can keep stuff in front of us and tackle. And there's times we don't tackle, but for the most part, through four games, we're not giving up the big plays. I think Bill knows that about his defense. Like, we're not going to give up 70 in a cloud of dust and have to, you know, our team's going to get winded. You know, because boom, we got to get back out there. Offense got to get back out there. Let's go.
Just to fact check this, Jared Goff is third in passing yards behind Justin Herbert and Josh Allen. In terms of attempts, he's down there quite a bit below a bunch of guys, including the Cousins, Brady. Completions, again, he's throwing a lot, but it's. I don't know how he has that many passing yards. His completion percentage, touchdowns. He's got 11. He's tied with Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes.
I'm sure you're throwing a lot in games too, which means you got to throw the ball a ton. Now, that's part of it too. Like, yeah, they're putting up points, but you're putting up points losing. Meaning the other team's really racking up some points.
Only three picks.
Yeah, I think you got to get him turn it over once. I don't think it's one of those like, oh, Mahomes, we got to get him to throw two picks. No, it's Goff, get him throw one. Bait him into one. You know, and that'll be sort of a two-possession swing here for you. That's how you win this game. Do what you did, not turn it over this past week. Guess what happened? You ran the ball, didn't turn it over, and were your special teams pretty good in the return game? Yeah.
Let's talk about some defensive stuff. In addition to what we've already talked about, how about the signing of Jamie Collins and some comments from Jack Jones that has Peter King irritated.
Irritated gets me excited.
We'll get to that next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is Solak and Bertrand.
I think that's sort of low class.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Jack, even back to training camp, you've shown a knack for those out routes, getting the jump on those. Is that something you've always done?
Personally, I feel like it's disrespectful to throw an out route on me. If you could throw the ball past me to get to the receiver, I'm no good.
That was Jack Jones on Sunday talking about his pick. Zoe and I were talking about Jack Jones pregame. And we both said, this kid's got to start. This is who we've got to see in there now with Jalen Mills being hurt and inactive on Sunday. Let's see it. Let's see what Jack Jones has. We haven't spent a lot of time on this, but he had a pick six. Took it back.
Yep.
It's great.
He jammed that back foot and just broke on it like... That's what he does. The ball floated out there. Now, it was a bad throw by Rodgers. His receiver fell down, but his receiver wouldn't have been anywhere near the ball. The ball would still have been picked and gone.
I wanted to give you some extra credit there.
Yeah. What's that?
I just wanted to tell you that you were the one that brought up in pregame. You said,
feast or famine.
This kid is feast or famine. He's either going to pick it off and go back, or he's going to get burnt.
Yep.
I think that was how you described it, right?
Yeah. That's the way it was told to me.
Well, on Sunday, it was a feast.
I was in that room when he said it. I was looking down at my phone when he said, personally, I feel it's disrespectful to throw the ball. And I looked up, and everybody in the room looked at each other. And Stacy's standing over there, and Stacy brings the guys in and out. And I'm like, oh, like, they don't want to hear that.
Why?
Meaning the team. Like,
why not?
But don't tell me there's not something in Steve or Mayo or the head coach that – he's quietly smiling. Like, that's a Revis comment. That's a J.C. Jackson comment. That's a, I got some swagger to play cover corner.
All the best
comment.
Corners do.
That's,
can't wait to not pay this guy in 5 years.
Oh, no. Why
take it down again.
Damn it, T-Bone.
Take it down again.
Kill the mood a little more.
We get cranking on something, and you take a leak on it. Jeez.
Am I wrong?
No. But can we enjoy it for the 4 years? We had 4 years of Jackson.
Want to take it down another notch and hear what Peter King wrote?
Yeah.
Peter King wrote this.
The offender quarterback you cover.
He wrote, hey, kid, they threw out routes on Deion Sanders. Not many, but some. How did the 121st pick in the draft get so big-headed to think one of the best quarterbacks ever was insulting him by throwing the kind of route that's thrown 162 times a week in the NFL? Man, that was weird.
No, it's more about the guy, exactly, who he had mentions there at the end, one of the best to ever play, because I've covered Brett Favre, and I've got the big interviews in the hallway when Favre had his ankle broken, the calcaneus bone. Remember when Favre was talking about that? I broke my calcaneus bone.
Calcaneus.
And there's Peter getting the interview one-on-one. He gets it with Brady, the sit-down in Montana. You know why? Because he protects he protects those guys, the elite quarterbacks, because he gets the interview. I'm not going to let some fourth-rounder disrespect my quarterbacks I get interviews with. Typical Peter. I like what the kid said. Now, he's probably not going to say it anymore because they'll get to him and say, that's enough of that. But I like the fact he believes that. That's good. That means they may have found one here. They're good at replacing the guys that they leave. They really are. Whether it's Gilmore, whether it was Jackson, whether it was Revis, whether it was Ty, whether it was Asante, the list goes on and on. Ellis Hobbs, they replace them. They figure it out.
And all of those
that
guys.
That is one position they figure it out. And those guys go get paid. Malcolm.
They would have at one point, maybe not day one, getting the start here, but at some point they would have said that.
Malcolm thought like that.
That's how they think.
I know Malcolm, he thinks that way. Yeah, that's good.
Does it? You know, if you take it literally exactly what he said, yeah, it's like, well, it's not, he wasn't disrespecting you. Come on. But it's a mentality. It's a mindset for great corners that they go out and play that way.
He's not disrespecting the quarterback. And stop taking it that way, Peter. He's making a point of. You probably should guess again if you want to throw an out route.
For once, a Patriot says something fun, and then Peter King is there to dump all over it.
Oh, Captain Red.
Come on.
Got to sip my pint of beer.
Wait.
He pontificates. No, like most of his stuff, like all his podcasts and his writings, like, oh, I have a craft beer place where I sit down and I suck down my pint as I collect my thoughts and put it
in
the pen.
Well, be careful, though, because he's also got that relationship with your guy.
Who?
Tom Brady.
Yeah, I just mentioned Brady.
You know,
he said he had to sit down.
Goes out to Montana.
That's where he had all the answers to the test, right?
Yeah.
How'd that trip go?
He's got to stand up for his guys, for his guy Aaron Rodgers.
I get it.
That's all that is. You're right, so.
It's an Aaron Rodgers comment.
Good calls, though.
I take it more of like, I'm protecting Aaron.
Brent's in Shrewsbury. What's up, Brent?
Hey, I wanted to talk about the young Jack Jones, so. How long is Mills out? I should have looked this up. I was going to look this up.
No, it's a hammy.
I failed to. I want to know how long Mills is out, because when Mills is back, they better not get Jack Jones off the field because of his cockiness in the interviews. They need to make sure Jack Jones stays on the field at all times.
Oh, he does.
And figure out with Mills and Jonathan Jones, I mean, the corners and safety should be the strength of the team besides the running game, right? I mean, that should be a nice room right there, I think.
Well, McCourty went to it in postgame. He's like, someone asked McCourty about it. He had a kid getting his first start up there. And he goes, hey, he's been playing. Yeah, he started today, but he's been in a rotation with us. They know he's good. He ain't going anywhere. Don't worry about that, Brent.
I thought the forced fumble was just as big and impressive of a play as the pick six, because you don't really see a forced fumble where the guy actually recovers it too that often, right?
He almost.
So that was a big game play. Big game play.
He almost got another one. Now, he jumped the route, missed the tackle. Went out of bounds, but came back in bounds when the guy was running and still almost punched it out from behind. Like some guys, when they jump it and miss the tackle, they lay there on the ground and watch their other teammates get it. He got back up and got back into the play. That was a positive game for Green Bay, but he still almost punched that out. Like he's got good ball skills. So.
Let's talk Jamie Collins. His return to the Patriots happened yesterday. We'll get into more of that coming up next. Mike Reese will join us at 12:30.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
They bring you insight like no one else can.
Who cares? It was a bad take. I've got a million of them.
Zola,
that's a twerk.
And Bertrand.
We can make a laundry list of horrible takes.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Darnold from the gun with McCaffrey to his right. Takes the shotgun snap. He drops back. He throws the ball. Picked off by Jamie Collins right in the middle. Collins, about 5 yards off the line of scrimmage, snags the fastball from Darnold, and another interception. The second in as many series for Carolina.
Kyle Van Noy should have one, too. That should be it for Darnold.
Zach Cox at Nesson writes about Jamie Collins' return this week.
Yes, my prank call.
What happened to your headphones?
I ran down to shoot a video and I took my headphones.
Dennis was in here. Didn't Dennis come in here?
Oh, you I just did, stopped programming until Dennis comes back.
I didn't even notice that he was in here. I was talking to Roger.
He likes it so much that his name got mentioned by a fan of the show that someone actually knows him and mentioned him by name.
Now he's in the control.
And now he's getting cocky with it.
It's hard to do your job when people
I
just
can't hear anything.
Keep touching your stuff.
So you're useless to me right now.
Are you? What Dennis said, I'll relay the message. He said it's hard to do your job when people are touching your stuff.
Oh.
So what did you do, Zah?
I didn't do anything.
What did you touch?
I didn't touch anything.
Dennis, what did he touch?
Nobody saw it.
Nobody saw anything. My office might have been filled with M&Ms last week. I'm not sure. I haven't figured that out yet. Packing peanuts. I don't know how it happened.
Was that you?
What?
Packing peanuts and M&Ms in Dennis's office?
Packing peanuts. Oh, that was last week.
And this is this week.
That's only in a morning.
Right. See, he's trying to make a point here. Like, it's going to stop me. But see, I could still talk and do the show.
How did you fill the office with pack? Did you drop M&Ms all over the floor?
No, I didn't drop any M&Ms on the floor. I put it on his desk.
How many?
I don't know, like 10. Just sprinkled them out. There was that bot. You remember? There was that container.
There was
of M&Ms
a big here. Container of M&Ms here.
Yeah. Which prank was better?
Right there. Yeah. Another one of them sound great. Yeah. I think taking the headphones is the best prank.
He's lucky I didn't fill his car with packing peanuts. That's been done before.
I would stop touching his stuff if I were you.
The best prank I've ever heard of was the one that Drew Bledsoe had in retaliation for the packing peanuts filling the car. His car was filled up with the packing peanuts, correct?
Yes.
And Drew, in return, had someone steal a teammate's keys from their locker during practice.
Okay.
Get the keys copied.
Yep.
Hired a moving company to go to the home and move all of the contents of the home into storage. Ooh. Just prior to the holidays, I believe, when said player was hosting his family.
It was Rucci.
He moved all of Todd Rucci's home into storage.
His parents came in for Thanksgiving, and they had to spend it in, no, it was actually Christmas Eve. They had to spend it in a hotel.
That is a prank.
That's a great prank. But the problem was, Bledsoe had the Suburban with custom wheels. And when you loosen the lug nuts and he drives down the highway and the wheels start wobbling, you screw up everything with the wheels, the wheelbase. Well, everything had to be replaced.
Also, the wheels could come off
and kill somebody.
Well, I mean, and then you pull over. It wasn't like, hey, you gotta get on the highway.
Right. Didn't take off all the lug nuts. Right. Only took off five of them.
So after he did that, what Bledsoe did was he came in the locker room and he stabbed him.
Yes.
Get it?
In the head.
He was waiting there with a knife. He just stuck one up under his ribs. Gotcha. Get it?
So he ruined the custom wheels as part of, I thought it was the packing peanuts one.
No, they did that one, but his Suburban had to have the whole wheel casings replaced in that because somebody loosened his lug nuts all the way.
And so was it Rucci?
Probably. We don't know.
Oh, but he suspected him?
The worst prank I've ever seen was a pig head. The slaughtered pig head that was brought in the locker room by somebody. Somebody had hunted had one stuck in one of the offensive linemen. I think it may have been Chad Eaton brought it in. That was gross. They come in like, that smell. Oh, it's a pig head with blood everywhere.
What a locker room.
That's fun, though. Good times.
Imagine that.
Miss those days.
Moving out the entire house, just emptied everything out.
Then what else did he do? Oh, Bledsoe put his... He had a brand new Bronco, the OJ Bronco.
Yeah.
The white one. Rucci had a black one, fully amped up, souped up, had a kit on the front, you know, PIAA headlight kit and all that. Put it for sale in the paper for like 20 grand and put his number in there. In the paper, in the Boston Globe, in the classified.
Picture or no picture?
Picture. Just, hey, brand new Bronco.
Old school, classified.
Relocating, got to dump this thing. All I want is 20 grand cash. Like, imagine the amount of calls he got. Yeah. It's crazy. Just do that to Hardy.
No. You should do it to Dennis since you're in a war with Dennis.
That's right.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah, it's your move.
Your turn.
It's my move. Tag him in it.
Yeah. Okay. Let's talk about Jamie Collins. Yep. I was going to tell you, Zach Cox at Nesson wrote that adding Jamie Collins sort of highlights that the Patriots did a really bad job at linebacker in the offseason. Agree or disagree? And I'm just paraphrasing.
I agree partly, yes. Yes. Yes, because there really isn't. Like, Matt Judon's a stud. Opposite Matt Judon, what do you have? Like, high hopes for Josh Uche, right? Big bounce in that third year. Raekwon McMillan. You made the trade with Cleveland to get Wilson in here. Now, he's not an outside guy, but... You know, Tavai has been getting a lot of reps. I thought Tavai actually set the edge pretty good last week out in Green Bay for what Tavai is and what my expectations are for him. Jennings is in the mix there. Like, when you're rotating that many guys, that means you have no answer opposite Uche right now. Not Uche, opposite Judon. Judon looks good. He's got his health, and you got to keep that guy healthy. Like, when he got leverage last week, they couldn't block him. He got up under. He leg whipped Rodgers one time. He got him to him another time. Collapsed the pocket. You know, he and Wise right now are pretty much your good leverage underneath guys. Barnmore's got to start coming on more too. Like, Barnmore's there in the mix. He's not an outside guy. But to the point of Collins, now you can make some calls. Like, you got a veteran guy can sort of middle some things instead of a young guy that might lay his ears back and get in trouble and lose containment. Like, Jamie now, and what's this, go around number four? should understand what they're asking him to do, and he's not coming back unless he's willing to do it. It'd be interesting to see the quick money he makes there off this, you know. I'm sure it's not a lot, but he's not coming here for a cup of pencils, you know. He's coming back here to make some money.
And continue his career.
Yeah.
Otherwise, he's at home.
Like, they're good at, like, post-trade here. Like, when Bill traded him to Cleveland, he got paid in Cleveland. He made a lot of money. So you can thank Bill for that, put me a team where I'm going to get paid, because he wasn't going to get that here. But for these guys that come back here, they don't hate it that bad. That says a lot for guys like him and Trent Brown coming back. You know, Hoyer's back on, what, round number three. I mean, these guys come back because they know the system and they trust them. And they like the coaching. I don't see Collins ripping the hell out of them for trading him and coming back, and then you cut him, or they, you know, this contract expires, they let him go, he hits free agency, comes back. There's something there. So I just think they're looking for more juice opposite Uche, opposite Judon. I don't know why I keep calling him Uche. You need to find that answer opposite Judon, and then you got something in your front. Because Bentley's what Bentley is. Last week, they kept just run blitzing him. Pick a gap and shoot him. A gap, B gap, C gap. Just, we're not going to have you run laterally, left and right. Just shoot him. I think he's pretty good at that. They also could walk Bentley up on the edge if they could. You know, Collins can also play the middle. That's another thing. Like, Jamie's so athletic. You remember that pick he had against Carolina last year? Like, no other guy really makes that, like, in that front seven, to have that type of athleticism. And Jamie has played the middle there a little bit with Spikes back in the day, where they would run blitz those guys. Like, if you can walk Bentley up on the edge and you know it's a rundown, put Jamie in the middle, have Judon on the other side, and that's a pretty good front with Barmore and Wise and, say, Guy when he gets healthy, or, you know, Carl Davis. That's a big nose tackle. So you could muddy up some run defenses there if you want to bolster your run defense. So
617-779-0985. We have headlines here with Artie. We come right back in 90 seconds, so don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.